If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
It's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio on how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
This is tedious on therightstuff.biz.
Oh god, my mouse is in the wrong spot. There it goes. Hello, welcome. It is Monday morning for, I guess, everybody but the United Auto Workers.
This is the good stuff. The right
stuff. Jewish apocalypse.
All of us people, I gotta work for a living, showed up this morning on time. Well, I wouldn't.
Tired of these lazy Marxist union.
You know what you should do?
Guys.
Just have all our cars built someplace else for people to appreciate the jobs they got. Yeah. You know?
Like Vietnam.
Yeah.
Right.
China.
I want a Vietnamese. Wait, no, I don't like China.
Why are we letting these lazy union Democrats?
Oh, these Democrats.
Continue to make our cars. Should all be made in fucking Malaysia and Taiwan. Fucking Burma. That's where I want my car made. Where I can go car shopping. And ladyboy shopping at the same vacation.
Go car shopping and ladyboy shopping in Burma. It's a fucking two for one. You can fit the ladyboy in the trunk.
I killed two birds with one stone on my next vacation.
Oh, my God.
Let me read you some Boomer comments since you kicked this off. Yeah. UAW employees, ask yourselves this. If you lost your job today, where would you go tomorrow to make even half of what you get today and half your current benefits?
Who is saying
next
this?
Next question.
Like, what is this person? Like... So this is these are
a Yahoo comments boomer.
These are boomer comments.
He's real.
He's not a bot.
He's a real
senile. It's a senile old person.
But these are comments on a news story about the United Auto Workers strike that's taking place in the foul year of our Lord 2023 September. And so these are boomers. These people writing these comments, they have no authority in General Motors or Ford corporations or anything.
No.
They have no skin in the
game.
Really
not part of the
negotiation or the dispute, but they have really strong opinions about the scumbags that build the cars that they're not buying, right?
They think that these people should get paid a lot less. They want to intervene. In fact, they want to plan an economy such that wages are directly connected to what they personally think the work is worth.
They are characterizing the union workers as greedy, which is an interesting take.
Right. And
the greedy workers. You know, the problem with America is all these greedy workers.
Yes, it's always that's always been a very funny thing. It's like, but never mind. Investors. Yeah. Executives, like those people aren't greedy. No,
executives earn their place.
Struggling again. They are the most oppressed. Remember Ayn Rand, the most oppressed class in America.
I remember, I think I saw last night when I was looking at this, the number I saw was 320 some odd times. Like the CEO of one of the car companies makes 320 times the average salary to a worker.
Look, that's just the market, my friend. Don't hate the player, hate the game. I don't hate the game either. Just the player.
Why can't I just hate everything? I also hate cars.
Yeah.
Oh, Alex, my daughter said the worst thing to me yesterday.
You know what's even worse than cars?
Hold on.
Cars 2. That movie sucked.
The Cars 2 is terrible. They got to explain the plot to you at the end so you know what just happened. My daughter said the worst thing to me. We were driving to visit some friends yesterday, and on the other side is one of these brand new, one of these short bed crew cab, like pickups is going by. She's like, when I grow up, I want to get one of those. Those are just cool. I was like, oh no, what have I done? What have I done wrong? My little daughter wants like a 4 foot bed crew cab pickup truck because she thinks it's cool. I failed.
What's cool about it?
I'm like, what's cool about it? That's exactly what I said. She's like, I don't know. It just looks cool. I was like,
well, okay. Kind of get that, you know. Not the worst.
I was like, no, you're gonna get a tiny electric car. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
It's probably to be a cargo bike.
Actually, she hates bicycles. That's the best thing about her. She's like, ew, gross.
Well, she's not going to have a choice about it because in a few years, we're just all going to be on dirt paths riding bicycles. Not cool bicycles either. Rickety bicycles.
Now, I do actually have some...
Yeah, if those auto workers get their way, there'll never be a car sold in this... We're never going to build another car, McNabb. That's why we get these greedy bastards back to work on the line. Start pumping out those... What do they call those things? Those Evos? Those little... Give me a Nissan Leaf right now. Set it up. Let's do it.
Here's my favorite boomer comment that I've seen over the entire weekend. I was asking whether the worker should be able to afford the cars he makes. It's an obvious reference to somebody, and I think everybody gets it.
Yeah, we all know.
Normal Norman, he responded, he's pounding down Monster energy drinks. Those things are not cheap. If he's got enough money to chug those, he ain't poor.
Where the hell is that?
I love this.
Job. Wait, what?
I love this. Whoa. This is one of my favorite boomer logic circles.
Where do the Monster energy drinks come from? Is this some? Is this? We're just supposed to take this as written.
Assuming there was a picture of a UAW worker.
No,
drinking
there was
a Monster
no such,
or something.
Maybe there was like in the background. Maybe one had one next to his like his lunchbox or something.
Was there a study being done? We have market numbers.
He might have also just made it up in his own brain.
That's what I was leaning towards.
But let's also be honest. I'm sure that there are plenty of auto workers that drink Monster Energy drinks. Right. Like that's pretty.
And that's why they're poor and they can't afford a house.
Oh, you know what? Fuck those. Fuck them now. I hope Biden breaks their strike. These fucking idiots drinking Monster Energy drink on the job. Tired of that shit.
I mean, the Stockholm syndrome, Stockholm syndrome of fucking capitalism is something to behold. But these people, it's not even Stockholm. Like, these people are just out of the market. Like, if you're a boomer, you're just out. Like,
there's nothing better.
You live through the grand expansion of just like everything and all opportunity, and it's over now. It's popped, and you're just like living in the past. You don't know what to do, you know.
Funny seeing literal like just like retired and out of the like really frankly people who are probably on some level living on the public's dime. I mean, stop cashing your social security check and shut the fuck up. Like this shit gets annoying. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you know what it is. It's like it's just the total lack of any kind of solidaristic thinking that these people have been inculcated with under, you know, like Reaganism and like all this shit that has been pounded into their brains in order so they don't think about racial stuff. I was talking to a bunch of people this weekend and somebody was telling me how a boomer in his life had gone – you know, had seen his politics and started like – had been like a conservative and is now – like so conservative they're practically a libtard and is like
the
you know
in your life
right we need to open the borders, we need the workers, no one else is going to do the work if like God. White people are lazy, like no one's want and so it's like these are people who were like you know I mean Reaganism
this
is
how
a
far
fucking mind
going
virus,
down the too. Rabbit hole. The conservative Reaganite boomers in the comments this morning were talking about there's plenty of undocumented workers in the country. We could just use those instead of these.
I mean, right, because that's the kind of outcome we want to promote here. Like that's what we want, right? Yeah, I could see the logic of the Reaganite logic at work here. It's like, oh well, look. It's like, oh, so these workers are trying to get more money? Well, we got a handy solution to that right here. We got hundreds of thousands of these fucking beaners. I'm like, yeah. Meanwhile, they've less than 2% of the fucking migrants or illegal immigrants or whatever we're calling them living in New York City have applied for that work permit, even though many of them are legally allowed to get one.
Finnegan just brought me a beer.
Nice.
Nice. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. Finnegan.
Well, it's not a Monster Energy drink. It's not a Monster Energy drink, so I think I'm allowed to have it.
He's like sort of.
No, that's expensive too. You're not allowed to have anything. If you demand, it's like I like how this idea. Like, think about the concept here. Like, before you ask for higher wages, you better make sure your household budget is in order. You better make sure.
You better be living like a.
I'm gonna review your weekly household budget before I even consider your demand to get more pay.
You better be living like a Spartan, like bare bones existence with no enjoyment.
Yes, because they'll give you the boomer anecdote about like, well, you know, I ate canned soup and my table was made out of cinder blocks and 2x4s.
That's all lies. That's not true. Boomers are like the most wealthiest and most privileged generation.
Do boomers realize how like? Boomers realize like how like they're on a certain level you can be like pretty damn lazy. And, like, get into a union and do very well, and your entire life is not, like, a fucking, like, volume turned up to 11 struggle to, like, get by.
Hey, everybody. Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Did they not understand that?
Right.
That
maybe you
like that's what everybody. That's what.
Here,
that's good for most people. Because the problem with the boomers, I've been seeing this since like the anarcho-capitalism days. These were the arguments against anarcho-capitalism by like more like orange and red anarchists. Was like all these people think that like they're going to be the exception one day, and every one of them is special, and they have some talent that's going to make them a bazillionaire captain of industry. Where for the most part, like, mm-hmm. They're just not. They just hear about, like, they think that, like, the idea that, like, the only reason you can't get ahead and be, like, on top of the pyramid is because your taxes are too damn high is absurd. And because unions agree, it's like, no, it's like, you should be in a union. You'd be earning a higher wage. You'd be doing fine. You could maximize your potential just fine in a union. But these people all have this idea that out there in the small business world, hence, fuck your
also,
small business,
like
they can go get ahead on the system and put one over on these people. It's, you know. It's bullshit.
Why? Even I remember when, like, even like certain libertarian intellectuals who would do like reductio absurdisms or just like logical extensions of their own ideology would be like, "Well, a labor union actually isn't an entirely non-market phenomena. Like, you know, if they can organize the workers to do that and press for more money, that's actually a threat to withdraw the labor." You know, that's a big deal. You know, you got to give them more money if you don't want them to just walk. You know, like that's something that people are like. And it's also like, remember how people used to reason like, well, are you at your job as an individual allowed to say, I'm going to leave the job if I don't get more money? And like, well, sure, you can. Yeah. But then why can't I join like 100 other people in doing the same thing all at once so that we all get more money?
In their moral universe, that's not acceptable.
They can't tell you why, though.
Yeah, but I was observing this today because they were talking about Elon Musk, and they were making a distinction between like the job creators and value creators and the evil, greedy worker who's got the temerity to demand more for his labor. He's like asking more money for his labor just out of thin air. You should pay me more money. And the boomer is like, but why do you deserve to be paid more money?
Yeah, don't you know that your labor is simply
well,
just import towards my
matter.
Profit maximization? And if I give you more money for your input, then like that just ruins my profit. It's like, yes. Yes.
Well, I'm going to go full. Again, we keep saying boomer, but this is just a tendency on the right now. Granted, it's heavily weighted that direction.
Yeah,
but,
like I was just going to ask, like, are there younger people who are leaving these comments? I mean, are you just assuming these are boomers? Like, I don't know how pervasive this mentality is about this anymore. I feel like shit is like really dying.
We now talk about boomer as like a mentality more than anything. But yeah, I feel like there's fewer
it's
people.
It's a state
entering.
Of mind. It's a state of mind in Margaritaville.
It's outdated ideologies, basically. But I'm wondering,
Reaganism,
like, are these people actually dying out and it's going away? Like, are young people falling for this stuff? Like, I just don't know. I think young people are just
what I would say to these people is you're the socialist here.
Yeah.
And this is just to be a troll, but here's how I would do it. I was like, you're the socialist because you are trying to input, you are trying to insert into what is a purely marketplace bargaining situation your value, your totally arbitrary value system about how much so-and-so deserves. Well, so-and-so, according to market ideology, doesn't deserve or not deserve anything on some kind of abstract moral basis. They get what they can And there's nothing wrong with someone saying, hey, I'm going to withhold my labor if you don't give me more. And if the company will be fucked if that person withholds their labor, then they get more. And that's all fair, right?
According to the ideology, it's fair, right? Let's say I make a product and then I just charge as much as people are willing to pay. That's fine, right?
Right.
So why can't I do that with my fucking labor? Why can't I charge as much of my labor as I can?
No, I mean, again, it's this, like, once you, when you commoditize everything according to this ideology, frankly, all's fair. And why can't, if one person can do it, why can't 100 people do it?
Do these boomers not see, like, what a communist endeavor, like, having a large corporation like this is? Like, you're pooling together all this labor. You're pooling it all together. It is all going towards one goal. All of their labor is being pooled. Part of their paycheck is being pooled into the profit pool, and it's getting kicked up to a dear leader who's profiting off of everybody's collective.
But he deserves it, and you look at him the way North Koreans look at Kim Jong-un, because he's like the guru of the whole thing. Additionally, not only that, but these communist companies, these communist massive industrial concerns are totally in league with the fucking government.
Yep.
And they get the government to come in. You want to know what's anti-free market?
Yeah.
Was when the government comes in and imposes a contract by force, like they did with the rail workers' strike.
Yep.
Like right now, what the fucking auto companies want Biden to do and what the union is wanting them not to do. I was reading actually the New York Times about this, and the guy who's the head of UAW, now, this could all be rhetoricals, right? But they're saying that the Biden administration is sending people, the NLRB is getting involved. They're sending labor secretary representatives down there. They're going to talk about it or whatever. And the union's like, this isn't the Biden administration's business. That's what the guy is saying publicly, at least. And probably because he remembers exactly. If there's one person, there's one group that remembers what happened to the rail workers, it's these guys. That guy knows exactly what happened to them. So he's saying, just let us have our strike, because he's worried, because, of course, Biden is actually, unlike with the rail workers, Biden is doing a rhetorical in favor of the auto workers, and so are a number of Democrat politicians.
Yeah, because they sense there's a weakness there. They sense they're going to lose the working class.
Because it's a politically popular, the national polling shows that most people support the strike. Mm-hmm. So, and they didn't really have national polling on the rail workers.
Well, I'm going to continue to dine out on this comment section on this whole issue here. Here's a really interesting take. I like this little twisted logic here. Record profits this, record profits that. It does not matter how much profits these car companies made over the last 10 years. That is water under the bridge. What matters is how much profit they will make in the next 10 years. If the EV transition does happen, it will cost these car companies a lot of money to do it. Right now, they're losing billions in the EV portion. If they send their profits to workers, that is less money for the EV transition, which will hurt them going forward. These workers do not get the reality of the world they live in.
Okay.
So what they're saying here is the EV transition, it's going to cost the car makers a lot of money. Therefore, the workers should sacrifice to keep the car companies afloat for something that might happen in 10 years.
That EV transition shit, that sounds like a them problem. I don't give a fuck about that. Why the fuck should I care? Fuck you, pay me. Like, what the fuck? I don't care about your fucking EV shit. Fuck that.
I would like to afford a house, but it's really important the GM stay above water over the next 10 years.
Look, we have to get the transition to electric vehicles.
And then maybe I'll get a pay raise.
The priorities here become clear.
Oh, my God.
Suddenly, and I've seen this before, suddenly the sort of like revanchist opposition to like EVs and like green energy, suddenly that's out the window now. Okay, no, you can't do that because we need to do this. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about your electronic vehicle shit.
Yeah.
If I was working at one of these plants, these three plants that are striking, I think they got three plants striking right now, 12,000 workers, I would be like, fuck your large EV business. Like, I don't care about it. Like, I don't even think that's, I mean, that's not even.
Yeah.
It's neither. It's amazing the level of non sequiturs that will be introduced. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of trying to see. If we have numbers, I did see some headlines I did see a headline that there was before the strike, there was polling that said that generally speaking, people in America would support it.
Would.
Yeah, but also it's just like, yeah, okay.
I like how they're bringing up
majority
like,
of Americans support labor unions. Seeing, August 29th poll.
I've been seeing noise about this too. This supposed like, I don't know what the mechanics of it are, but like the, this decree from on high of from Joe Biden that the entire industry change over to EVs. Like, I don't know. So basically what you're saying here, Boomer, is that change has to happen and it has to happen on the backs of the workers. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
Like those are the people like they have to suck wind for that. Like you want to do a top down economic planning where you change the auto industry from gas to electric. Why the how that's bad enough as it is. Like that's probably like not a winner. But you want to put that on the back of like the people who build the fucking cars? Like put that on the back of the fucking people in charge of the fucking industry. Like put the people they can afford it.
They're doing like EV realism. Like the EV transition, it's going to happen. There's no choice about this. Okay. Therefore the worker has to just acknowledge reality.
It's insane. No, it's like the C.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't. Because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
CEOs have to acknowledge reality. The people running the company have to fucking acknowledge it. The industry and the government should work together to keep people from having this be a burden. I mean, that's what I've always said about this. Like, fine, you want to go on this electric vehicle boondog. All right, give me an electric car. Give me free charging. Give me something to fucking smooth this over. Because everywhere I look, there's no mechanic that knows how to work on them. There's no place to get them fueled up. And I don't want to plug them into a wall outlet at my house with the kilowatt hour rates being what they are because of the Ukrainian war and all this other bullshit going on. So fuck you. No, let's stick it to the fucking UAW worker. That's somebody we can just fucking thumb our nose at and be like, yeah, that's the guy. That's the bad guy.
All the UAW worker has to do is just stop drinking this Monster Energy drink so we can make this whole thing go away.
Right. I mean, well, then he won't need to be striking because he'll realize how much more money he's saving every day by not drinking that $2.99 can of Goy.
Good Goy slop right there. Oh, man.
It's not like slop.
Yeah,
it's
with his avocado toast.
Goy lubricant.
I had some Goy slop yesterday. It was awful. So bad. I probably had the worst
thing
ever.
So get this.
McDonald's.
According to this data, I got some data here.
All right.
91% of Democrats, 69% of independents, and 52% of Republicans approve of unions. 3/4 of Americans support workers going on strike to negotiate for better wages.
Are you sure those 52% of Republicans just aren't people that can't read? Because it's like, you ask a Republican a polled question. Sir, you're a Republican. Can you read the question? If I read it to you, can you understand? Can you do any critical thinking about it? No? Oh, all right. Well, fine. We'll write you down anyway.
Well, my guess is that those 52% of Republicans are working class white people. The 52% of the people that vote Republican and say they support unions are probably like the kind of people that vote for Donald Trump. Or
when people say working class white people, I think they mean unemployed white people. That's usually what I see.
No, but that's not. Lots of white people have jobs, but
they're not they're not in the storied working class of the Oliver Anthony Fudge Round. The Fudge Round class is like the underemployed. Whatever.
Well,
talk about that some other time.
When libtards talk about working class people, they are talking about unemployed blacks.
Yeah. Right.
There are like
the poor.
A lot of white people that work jobs that don't make very much money in this country.
That's because they're not the 52% that supports the union strike. Fuck this union. They should make minimum wage like me and be happy.
I'll tell you why they're poor. Poor because they go home.
I'm not sure I understand what you're.
They drink all that natural light.
Hold on a second.
Light, you know, they'd save a bunch of money and then they wouldn't be poor anymore.
Yeah, they're poor.
I'm just confused. Do you disagree with my assessment that the 52% of Republicans that say they approve of unions are not like white people that actually work for every day?
I can't really. I think it's impossible to qualify what a Republican poll. Because a Republican responding to a poll hates unions, just across the board. Even if a union...
But that's apparently not true, though.
Huh?
That's apparently not true.
I don't know.
Well, they took a poll.
Yeah, I know.
These are people that said they're Republicans, and this is how they respond.
I think they just can't read. I think they just don't know what's... I really just think they have no cognitive ability. That's why they're Republicans. Oh, yeah, I'll say, yeah, okay. I really think they're just dumb and retarded. That's why they're Republicans. I know that hits hard, but it's just like, I really...
No, I just think that you're objectively wrong. Like,
well, so the question would then be, what about their stance on anti-union right-to-work laws? Are Republicans in favor of those?
I'm just saying, the question here... Now, this is a poll that was conducted. This is USA Today is reporting on this.
Strike news.
Okay. All right. I mean, we got...
Sorry, I'm just trying to be a Republican for you. USA, I expect right. news.
I don't know.
The show get brought to a halt over some stupid poll.
Because the numbers.
Oh, I know. I'm just doing jokes. Just keep doing it.
Okay. All right. So 75%. What they're saying is 75% of Americans support workers going on strike to negotiate for better wages, benefits, and working conditions.
That's great. Good.
With nearly half saying they strongly support it. Get this: young people support it.
Yeah.
Of people under 30. 88. This is kind of funny. Here's where you could question like a demographic here. 88% approve unions and 90% say they support strikes. So there's like 2% of people who don't like unions but like strikes.
Some men just want to watch the world burn, Bruce.
Yeah,
that's the group. That's the group.
That's
the
group. Like denial.
It's like the doomer faction.
Yeah, I just want to see chaos.
Or they just can't
like
read.
When people do stuff that makes stuff.
I mean, I could see that. I could see people hating unions as well because unions can be very gay, and unions have not done as much as they probably should have, and they've got their own institutional and structural problems. But
there's all kinds of issues.
At the end of the day, when you got like union in one hand, and then you've got major car company in the other, like major car manufacturer, it's like, I think the dog in this fight's going to be the union for me.
Generally speaking, the principle of like, I guess I might be one of that 2%. Or like, there's like very specific thing about, it's like not the concept of a union, but like the sort of specific implementation in certain cases leaves a lot to be desired, particularly because unions oftentimes are also like vehicles for racial grievances and shit like that. Right now, I was trying to find out about the racial demographic of the UAW, and it is diverse, but it is still 62% white of the workers for the UAW, which is, you know, probably a smidge higher than white representation in the population. But of course, here's another funny thing. When looking at like union bureaucrats, like union reps, they're they're disproportionately Latinx.
You mean?
Which is interesting, meaning that they're promoting people who aren't white on purpose. And they're blacks are also, of all workers in America, blacks are the most represented by unions. With something like 13-something% of blacks being in the union and 12-something% of white workers being in the union. And it falls off from there. So blacks are the most organized. And that's because they have basically some unions that are like almost completely like run by blacks. And there are certain service worker unions in New York City I used to remember that would just always be just like black people everywhere, like SEIU, among others. I figured SEIU member, I apologize to you, but at least in New York City, I definitely got the impression that SEIU was a racial thing. And they always were doing it. I'm sure there were some non-blacks organized under SEIU, but a lot of them, like what the union would do, would be going out for all kinds of left-wing shit that you probably don't support. And that's a common complaint for unions, is like, I have to pay dues, and this union is going out to support all kinds of left-wing shit that I want nothing to do with. So there's that. But I support this strike, though. Yeah, go on strike. Yeah. Fuck these companies.
Yeah, that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's like, why would I be morally outraged that workers are fucking over General Motors? Oh, poor GM. Oh, man.
Right.
Feel so sad for them. I really hate it for them.
Right. It's also like, what when you make like whatever argument you're going to make is going to make you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to sort of say, like, no, I really think that this level of, like,
here we go.
Wage James, inequality is
here's a little
legit.
Thing from James this morning. This week, the board increased the capacity under the company's existing repurchase program to $5 billion of common stock, up from the $3.3 billion previously remaining on the program. That's GM stock buyback announcement from year-end 2022. So, yeah, I don't feel sorry for these guys. Not in the slightest. It's not like the poor, impoverished GM management, you know, they're the ones who can't afford their Monster energy drinks, and their kitchen table is like cinder blocks with 2x4s on top of them. Like, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is I see boomers in the comments talking about, well, you know, these workers are just fine, they can just, you know, form their own car company. I'm like, yeah, but the problem is the car companies themselves create barriers to entry to stop you from doing that kind of thing, make it more difficult. Mm-hmm. You can't just magic your own car company into existence.
Oh, it looks like this EV shit is part of the news cycle on this strike. So this article from Arkansas Democrat. There you go. Already I'm suspicious.
Oh, man, now I hate Arkansas.
Arkansas Democrats. Democrat Gazette. So the claim here is that Ford, GM, and Stellantis are investing billions.
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
Millions to retool their sprawling operations to build electric vehicles, which are critical to addressing climate change. They're making little, if any, profit on those vehicles, while Tesla, which dominates electric car sales, is profitable and growing fast. Ford said in July, its electric vehicle business would lose $4.5 billion this year if the union got all the increases in pay, pensions, and other benefits it is seeking. The company said its workers' total compensation would be twice as much as Tesla's employees. Union demands would force Ford to scrap its investments in electric vehicles. Jim Farley, the company CEO, said in an interview Friday. So that's where
boomer got that idea.
That's where he's getting it, because that's what the companies are coming out with. Right? And they're also... appealing to Biden on this front, because they're like, well, you made green energy and electric vehicles and all this shit a signature part of your campaign and your presidency. And they even, in their Inflation Reduction Act, they even gave, oh, but get this. There's billions of dollars of incentives and subsidies included in Biden's Inflation Reduction
Act.
That's
the only way you make this work.
You got to
have massive subsidies for these companies, and then that's going to have to coincide with worker compensation. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to square the circle. If they're going to do an economic plan that doesn't make sense to you in a free market, well, then they have to come up with how to make it work in the managed market. But you can't just sit there and you can't just be like on the board of Ford and be like, I'm going to take all of the Biden subsidies and you all go fuck yourselves with your hourly rage. That's pretty good. Hourly wages. Go fuck you.
Well, here's why they want EVs.
That's me in the comment section who experiencing the hourly rage.
Hourly rage, yeah. So here's why they want EVs. Here's a little piece of the puzzle. According to this article, because wondering, like, why are they so hell-bent on these things? Electric vehicles have far fewer parts than gasoline vehicles, render many jobs obsolete. Of course, those parts can be manufactured elsewhere, brought here, assembled at a plant, and there you go. Plants that make mufflers, catalytic converters, fuel injectors, and other components The EVs don't need will have to be overhauled or shut
down. I just want to say I am completely in favor in the end of catalytic converter production. That is the biggest fucking bullshit ever. Fucking, hey, here's a tube with like platinum in it that a nigger's going to steal, and it doesn't do anything to change your fucking emissions. Fuck. Ugh. But anyway.
I mean, I'm in favor of removing all emissions garbage. One of my friends years ago, a guy I used to work with, who was a boomer, and eventually I think he passed away a few years ago. His point was like, instead of doing all this emission stuff, why don't you just raise the fuel economy of the vehicles? There's ways to do that.
You can
reduce the emissions by just making the things more gas efficient, because then you're not.
They've done that for the most part. The
same output.
They've done that quite a bit, but what unfortunately with the I think what happened in the auto industry is the CAFE standards got stringent enough where the reason there's no like entry level $10,000 car is like, well, we can't meet the CAFE standard, so we're just going to build trucks. So everything they put on the road is technically a truck, so it's a different CAFE standard. So
yes, so yes, because they had
right.
Like a loophole for the bigger trucks, because like, well, what are we gonna do with our big trucks? We can't make these meet the standard. Like, all right, we'll give you a loophole, and then before you knew it, everything was a big truck.
Everything's a crossover SUV. Everything is a some kind of wagon, and there's no more. There's no car.
Why are you kind of signaling the Daily Rake like that?
What are you talking about?
He wrote a whole paper on how CAFE standards were not at all why people drive SUVs.
I think CAFE standards are why they don't build other cars anymore.
He doesn't agree.
I would have to reread that.
I have to read
in the what was it? Counter signaling the bike people or whatever. Like he was saying that people just like SUVs. That's why they get made.
People also just like SUVs.
Oh well, no, I would agree with that. That people tend to prefer that type of vehicle, and because Americans have become increasingly sociopathic, and sociopaths love
also,
SUVs.
Well, but hold on a second. But why do people?
I was trolling you a little bit. I agree with what you said.
But why do people love SUVs? SUVs. But I'll tell you why people love SUVs. Because when you watch football, they put like high class niggers in SUVs on commercials all the time. They started selling you something else. They would.
Well, people also just like them, but like, I mean, whatever, it's fine. My point is that like, I think the CAFE shit was exactly why SUVs became a thing in the first place. And then they became popular, but whatever.
Well, they made them popular.
I also just hate talking about this shit because it's like,
but at the end of the day, it's like, okay, so the problem here is regulations that were not thought out particularly well. How about you change the regulations?
Or they're thought out to do, thought out to do things that like aren't like what they say they are. You know what I mean? Like, what if, like, if you like, okay, so what? Mike just gave me pause there with his comment about like, okay, EVs have fewer parts and therefore there's fewer people you have to hire. Like, maybe that's the whole point of them. Like, we could.
Just, I don't know.
Like,
we could just,
like, what?
Wrong,
what if like by I'm building just, electric? What if by building electric vehicles, you can like eliminate 25% of auto worker union jobs? Like,
I mean,
why
I
would you do that?
They are simple. This is one of the reasons why they want
that. That would be a huge boon. Like, what if if there's no more?
Right.
I don't know. If you can't work in a fucking shop anymore because no one's do you have to change the oil on a fucking EV? I don't know anything about them. From that,
like, presumably you need some kind of lubrication.
Well,
do
the engines get hot because there's no combustion?
You're firing, you know.
I don't know what's happening in those engines. Like, do you need oil changes every 3,000 miles, 3 to 5,000 miles?
I mean,
I don't know.
Do they? Is it like
it's batteries and it's got motors that presumably at each axle? So you get rid of the transmission, which is the reason trains don't have them because you know, putting all that torque through the transmission.
Really don't need it. You just brake or not brake. You know.
I mean, it's going to turn the every like side industry along with the auto industry like, upside down and inside out. And if it removes tons of jobs, then like all the merrier. How many beaters?
Well, I'm wondering an assumption as well that like if you have a problem with like a motor on one axle on your car, we just replace the whole motor.
Yeah.
Like as a unit. And then
I'll bet you what they want to do ultimately.
But doesn't Tesla force you to take the car back to them? They won't let you repair it, right?
I imagine. I don't know.
I will bet. Well, probably voids like
everybody wants
warranties.
That. Everybody wants that, like no right to repair stuff. That could be another part of this too. I don't know.
Also, I will bet you that they want them to be like thoroughly modular, like plug and play, like with computers and shit. Like, get this piece, you can just take it out, put it in.
Yeah,
like,
Tesla's been sued for antitrust act class actions for repair stuff.
So this could be another angle. It's like, okay, so we were talking about earlier, like you were talking about a while ago, a reason car dealerships don't want EVs is because their service department's not going to make their. It's like, what happens when you turn it around? Like, only dealerships make service money. What if what happens like because of electric vehicles? If you've got everything patented, if everything is under some kind of intellectual property, you don't have no right to repair. There's no independent mechanic shops anymore. EVs, you have to come back to the manual, like just like Tesla did. That could be another thing. And that keeps everything.
Yeah, there's another reason why car dealerships might not want EVs, and like we're just all spitballing here. Yeah. We don't totally know. That's one of the reasons I don't like getting into this territory.
Be part of it, though. It's like cell phone,
we're speculating, right? And I hate speculating because we could.
They're treating it like Apple does, like cell phones. Like, no, you don't have independent repair stuff. You send it back to the factory,
right?
Every
time. Right. But like, I'll bet you one of the reasons just straight up car dealerships don't like them is because people just don't. Consumers going to buy a car will be like, no, I don't want an electric. Give me that huge fucking truck.
The thing I'm familiar with.
You know?
I
don't know, though. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not as much demand as they would like for those.
Right.
Yeah, I was saying this. I said this on a solo show.
Get how they work. They don't understand them. And they also, there's limitations to how far you can drive. There's limitations to where you can charge. People aren't confident that they'll get someplace and they won't get stranded because there's no charging, et cetera, et cetera.
I was talking about this on my solo show months ago. It's one of the reasons is they've blundered how this stuff was presented and framed to the consumer base completely. Like, they've framed it as a replacement for a car. It's kind of like when you have vegan food and you're saying, oh, here's vegan chicken parm. It's like, well, there's no way in hell anybody who wants chicken parm is ever going to accept that. Like, why can't you just say that this is melted macadamia nuts and blah, blah, blah. Stop trying to imitate something, so if you want to
because it's a side grade at best.
Yeah. Right.
You're not marketing an upgrade. Yeah. You're marketing a side grade.
Like, you'll get a fucking, an electric Escalade. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, it was an electric Suburban. I can't remember what big SUV, GM came out with last year. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, the fucking, that thing must weigh, fucking 19 tons, and it's all battery. It's like, you're trying to get the stupid American consumer that you've trained to love a big, giant SUV into an electric one, which makes no goddamn sense. And they don't, and they, by and large, why don't I just get the, well, what do I need? An electric F-150. I'll just buy an F-150. That's a big one, electric F-150.
Well, the thing is, ultimately, electric cars, they're not going to, maybe eventually they'll figure out how to have something as powerful as that in electric, but I doubt it. But they just want you to be able to drive your little gearbox to work and back.
Yeah, I
want
to go to the grocery store. Give me a little fucking thing.
Yeah.
But there's a whole issue there.
Or whatever.
Give me a small vehicle, but why do I have to be on the same highway?
Oh, hey, guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
Away with 18-wheelers. Like, there's a whole fucking problem. There's so many problems. Transport in this country's so huge. And it's been so streamlined into one thing. Like, everyone's on the fucking highways. It's just, there's so many knots have to be untied. You can't fucking possibly take them on one by one. And one of the knots they're trying to untie right now is in the midst of a transition to building electric vehicles, they've got an auto workers strike on their hands. And they're trying to steel man them into not taking it. It's like, no, we need this money for our company.
Well, here's another thing, just straight up. Like, a lot of Democrats and Republicans, too, should also, again... we could talk about EVs and how various things are manufactured and whatever, but there's a basic thing here too, which is on some level, I don't actually give any shits about that. I really don't care that much about that kind of stuff, frankly, anymore. It doesn't really light a fire under my eye. Oh, people are driving, I don't get electric cars, so what? My thing is that, the real issue here is labor. And, there's some basic things about labor that everybody's ignoring. And, except for the misanthropic, Reaganite, who's now let's amnesty all these fucking immigrants, right? Because now these dumb workers are asking for their fair shake. So time to amnesty more immigrants and, get some more scabs in there. But, you know, every libtard that goes out there, like AOC and these libtards went out and they were heckled very badly. In New York City, where now 41% of people say shut down the border, 41% of residents of New York State are just saying shut down the border. And that's going to probably grow.
Like,
but
border as in like the border between
the
us
border
and Mexico.
Between Texas and Mexico.
That's pretty wild. That's yes. pretty wild. We got that many people in New York City.
41% of residents of New York State want the border with Mexico completely shut down with a wall across the whole thing.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah. Well, frankly, it was always pretty close to that. The problem is that they just can't. Those people can't exercise the majority because of all the other demographic detritus that has been brought into.
I would imagine that number used to be higher. But people who I think
oh, would have been higher
to,
like
tend to leave New York. It's like, all right, you know what? Let's get out of here. That happens, and then they get replaced by people that came through that border.
Yeah, I think it's definitely gone up in recent times because of this new crisis. That number has gone up because of this issue. But yeah, it would have been higher like 30 years ago for sure. 20 years ago it would have been higher. But that used to be the default position of everybody right of center in the whole country. Was shut down. I mean, in the 90s, every single right winger was like shut down the border and build a wall. And
centrist Democrats were like that too.
Yes, there were Democrats that just like when they had to pretend they were against gay marriage, even in the aughts, like they had to pretend like they were for controlling immigration on some level. Now they don't. But you know, they are the only thing that they're saying, and the Jew media is trying to move the debate here to like they need to just get their work permits. Well, every single one of those Democrats that's out there saying that should be asked, well, how can you possibly support unions while also supporting like the mass importation of scab labor? And frankly, I mean, you remember when Bernie Sanders had that moment where he forgot how things actually work when he was like, open borders, that's a right-wing position. When he said that, like in the campaign, 2016 campaign.
It's a Koch Brothers thing, right?
Monster energy drinks.
Yeah, he said that's like a Koch Brothers. Yeah, because it is. He's not wrong. It is. The Koch Brothers absolutely are about that. But what's so funny is you get these – neither of the mainstream parties in their open ideology they present to the public wants to be like a libertarian faggot. But in the end, libertarianism, like, frankly, always wins. Mm-hmm. Like the Libertarian Party, you know, has to look under the couch cushions for fucking votes, you know, but like their ideology wins every fucking time, except for maybe in foreign policy would be the one place it doesn't.
They have to,
but in terms of libertine social values and then like open borders and like capitalism winning every fight and labor being crushed, like all of that shit is like they're winning.
The Libertarian Party have to look under the couch cushions for votes, and they have to look at the local daycare center to get laid.
Oh, man. Did you hear about that shit with that daycare center in New York City?
I don't
know. How, like, a bunch of one kid died. They were all, like, Dominicans. One kid died, and, like, two were put in the hospital because there's somebody in the daycare center who had, like, a fentanyl fucking...
Oh, my God.
I saw that.
Was, like, selling fent. Yeah.
To children?
I don't like this 1-year-old Dominican kid died of a fent overdose.
Jesus Christ.
And like two other kids are in the hospital on like respirators because it's like one of the daycare a guy living in the daycare in the house where the daycare center was like cutting up fent. Yeah. And he was now the New York Post was trying to spin it like this dude was like a recent migrant. Everyone involved is Dominican or has sound. I mean, when I saw pictures of it, I was like, yeah, these are all just, you know, Dominicans, which is what I suspected was going to be. I thought maybe it might be blacks, but it was all Dominicans, which Dominicans, a lot of them are just, you know, black people that speak Spanish. But
it's
wild.
They all think they're white, though. The Dominicans are black people that speak Spanish, but they think they're white. That's the other thing about the Dominicans. It's crazy.
Well, they're not quite as black as blacks. But they're like, they've definitely got some black.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is then, like, you know, this New York Post editorial was like waxing. They were like really outraged about this. And they were like talking about how like the sympathy for all these families and all this stuff and like these beautiful children dying and then this evil scumbag. I'm like, yeah, but New York Post, like all these people are from the same race. like your separation of the one who was the recent migrant drug dealer as like the dirtbag here, and also the woman who let him stay in her, the one who ran the daycare center who let this drug dealer stay in her house.
Wow.
This is all like whether or not that person's legal resident of America or something is neither here nor there, because from their perspective, that's just one community. It's a group. It's Dominicans. Whether they've got their fucking papers or not, they don't give a fuck in their own community. They don't recognize that distinction. They're just Dominicans. Right? So it's like, obviously this woman runs a daycare center for Dominican children, and she lets another Dominican who's a drug dealer stay in her house, and Dominican children get killed because they're all the same race. This is like an internal Dominican. It's whether or not this guy was legally in the United States or not is actually neither here. This is a racial issue. Mm-hmm. New York Post. Like, I don't know how else to explain this to you. I mean, and on some level, I feel like they know this. They're just trying to make sure that other people don't know it. And what's so annoying is people that do pick up on these stupid media narratives and then like repeat them back to each other. It's really fucking irritating.
So you mentioned Bernie Sanders, and that was the other thing that's happening with on the back of like this UAW strike. Is they're talking about a 4-day work week, potentially.
Good. Oh, let's do it.
Wish I could have that.
Yeah.
You do have that.
That's the joke. That's the joke. Oh, shit. I just left the call. Hello? Go to call.
I wish I had like. No, I wish I here. Had regular oh, okay. hours after which like I don't have to pay attention to any of this shit. Like it's okay, it's 6. I'm clocked out. Don't bring me anything.
I supposed to do that. So like the boomer discussion on that, of course, is like, what, you're supposed to be paid the same for working less days?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, correct. Also your ancestors, they used to work 6 days a week. They worked 70 to 100 hours in factories, and guess what? That changed. Public policy changed on that. We dropped down to 5 days and 40-hour work weeks. How do you think we got there?
I love like leftoids say shit like, you know, things you can thank the labor unions for, and one of them is like the weekend. And I was like, well, what was the weekend like before labor unions, before like the capitalists got away with working everybody 24/7 in a fucking coal mine? Tell me about that peasant life.
Sundays have traditionally been always a day that you take off. What my understanding is when the industry took off, they started bringing in workers and basically working them like sun up to sundown 6 days a week.
Right.
And allegedly, and maybe there's a little bit of just so story to this, but allegedly one of the problems, they brought in subsistence farmers who essentially were like, wait, I'm working more hours here than I did on my fucking farm. This is retarded. I'm not doing this. But yeah, that was a change in public policy, though.
Oh, so here
and
we go.
There,
oh, go ahead.
Anyway.
So Senator Bernie Sanders in a Sunday interview encouraged a serious discussion on pursuing a 4-day work week. Sanders linked the need to such conversations to the targeted strike launched at the end of last week by the UAW.
As a nation, we should begin a serious discussion, and the UAW was doing that, about substantially lowering the work week.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription. And then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
We know. We are looking at an explosion in this country of artificial intelligence and robotics. That means the average worker is going to be much more productive. Worker productivity is going to increase significantly. The question as a nation is that we have to ask ourselves is who is going to benefit from that increased productivity? Is all of that new income and wealth being created by worker productivity going to go to the people on top, or are the workers going to benefit?
That's the central question, right? Yep. Like, he actually put that pretty well.
He's not actually entirely wrong. There's other issues here too. There's other issues here too, but that is actually an issue here. And I want to hear the most brain dead take of all. This is the most brain dead. This is literally like an alternate reality take, okay, which is why nobody takes Republicans seriously anymore. The UAW strike and the summer of strikes is the natural result of the Biden administration's whole of government approach to promoting unionization at all costs, said Suzanne Clark, CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, fucking Chamber of Commerce.
But,
God damn it.
But then I'm looking at the numbers. We don't have numbers for 2023. I know, right? But between,
so easily to disprove.
But between 2021 and 2022, unionization fell from 10.3% to 10.1%, and I'm sure it's going to fall further in 2023.
Holy shit.
It's fucking low, dude. It's really low.
It's almost below 10% participation.
If you want to lay something at Biden's feet about this issue, like lay the EV mandate and the green energy mandate. Like, don't talk about unionization. Like, fuck you.
And then lay the rail, the breaking. Weren't you happy with how he broke the rail strike just like completely? Like, it's what's the deal? Like, no, it's like, it's that shit is like, that is the kind of thing I would literally expect some of these brain dead commenters to be repeating.
We are very close to having about the same amount of union participation as Brazil.
Like the movie?
So like, no, the country.
I know.
The country.
Although I think there was a lot of unionized workers working on that movie.
Probably entirely.
Brazil, right. You know. They had the writers, they had union protections.
So, effectively, the United States is a third world nation whenever it comes to union
participation.
That's, I mean, what's America?
America's a third world country. It's just straight up. It just is.
So, on the other side of the coin, I have Breitbart yesterday. I was reading Populist Pitch. Trump considers joining auto workers on strike in Michigan. And this is one of the things like, oh, God. This could be one of those things, like how desperately bad do things have to get in the country where like he gets like union workers back voting for him in these swing states that he betrayed last time, you know?
I mean, this could be a thing. You always harp on that, but I'm always like, people have forgotten, man.
I don't know. Like, it takes a lot.
Generally speaking, people have forgotten. There's a core of people who have not, but. And also there's a lot of people I think out there who are like, there's no hope for the system. Fuck them. Let's just send this flaming ball of trash into Washington again, just to fuck everyone over. That's not what will happen if he's elected again. It would be a disaster.
Right.
But I remember I was listening to you guys. You were talking to, the show I wasn't on with James, where he was actually putting out data that was kind of like, wasn't surprising to me at all that like Trump is tied with Biden 50-50. In like a ton of these swing states, and like I maintain it's entirely possible this guy could be fucking president again. But I actually think the thing that would make that not happen is that they'll probably drastically intervene somehow to make probably. That happen.
I think if that were to happen, I think that assassination would actually be on the table at that point.
Yeah, I think it would be on the table. Purely like electoral demographics and voters, I think there's a good chance he could win. But I could be totally wrong about that.
This is by John Binder, which I just assume. Binder. Mm-hmm. Binder and Binder. Former President Donald Trump is considering joining the nation's auto workers who are currently striking against... The Breitbart News is chronicling the UAW. All right, shut up. Now, Trump is considering paying auto workers a visit in Michigan as a sign of support, according to Nolan Finley at the Detroit News. Sources say the campaign is holding details of the visit close, but expect to see Trump in Michigan in the next few days. If he does come, it would most likely be to a Ford Motor Company's assembly plant in Wayne, one of three facilities hit by the UAW strike late Thursday. The two other impacted plants are General Motors site in Wentzville, Wentzville, Missouri, and a Stellantis Center in Toledo, Ohio. If Trump hopes to reconstruct the coalition that carried a victory in 2016, he'll need union members to join the blue-collar workers who made up his core base. So that's he's quoting that from the Detroit News there. And where is Trump? Last week, Trump warned auto workers that they are going to be sold down the river by the Biden administration's push for rapid transition to a green economy where EVs dominate the road.
The auto workers will not have any jobs because all these cars are going to be made in China. The electric cars automatically are going to be made in China. Those jobs are all going to be gone because all those electric cars are going to be made in China. That's what's happening. If I just say it three times, it becomes the truth.
Yeah, no, it's the repetition well, of Trump I find to be one of his most interesting rhetorical flourishes.
Well, the thing is, like, there are a lot of EV parts are manufactured in China. Yeah. He's not wrong. And actually, one of the things that the UAW is saying is that they want to, when transitions are made to making EVs, that they want their workers that work on things like exhaust and transmission and engines to be transferred over to the new plants. Right. And they want those parts to be made in America rather than imported from China and then the car assembled in America.
I imagine that is going to be the shot.
And that is something that.
Oh, I was just saying, I imagine the shot is preventing that. Like, they don't want that's like, why right. do you think we're doing this?
Yes. Delay a bunch of people. And I imagine that, while possibly not wanting to have to get them from China, they'll probably want to get them from places like Taiwan or Burma or Malaysia or something, or Vietnam, something like that. Like, America is now up Vietnam's butt. Mm-hmm. So they're going to friend shore. They're not going to reshore. That's what they call it, friend shoring, if they want to move stuff out of China. Sure. They're going to try and friend shore. Which is kind of, I mean, that's like, Vietnamese are friend zoned. It's like, you've been friend shored.
Remember when we friend zoned Vietnam in like the 60s?
Vietnam like friend zoned us, really.
Well, I was going to say, it didn't really work out. It was like, you know, towards the end.
But now, after, it's like the relationship with Vietnam now is like, it's like the guy who's been friend zoned, but he persists for like so long that like the girl finally hits the wall and now she'll like now finally bang him after hitting the wall.
Now you're friend zoned with benefits.
She's been around the block so many times, but the guy, he never lost that flame, and now that she's hit the wall, he can get in there. Yeah.
So
friend zone guys, just stay persistent. Once she hits 40, you might get in there.
So forecast for 2023, expect more than $32 billion in additional profits. CEO pay at the big three auto companies has jumped by 40% during the same period. And the company's paid out nearly $66 billion in shareholder dividend payments and stock buybacks.
There really
buybacks.
Isn't an excuse for that. Like,
$66 billion in stock buybacks. It's crazy. I guess if they buy back their stock, that means they can pay the dividend to themselves.
Something like that.
I think that's the thing going on there.
I need to look more into that because sometimes these arcane financial transactions confuse me. But whenever I read about what they are, then it's easy to learn. But the media never explains what that means.
So
you got to go to like Investopedia or something like that to learn what actually goes on with these kinds of transactions.
Well, you're taking stock held by retail investors and you're buying them back, and the company's holding them. You can be.
Yeah, you're holding your own stock.
And I would think in this case, the way this is laid out, that benefit is like you don't have to pay your profit out to shareholders if you're the shareholder. You just pay it back.
Well, there's another benefit, which is if employees, CEOs, and board members, et cetera, are holding that stock and the company does a buyback, then that juices the stock price and they personally benefit too.
Auto workers.
I would assume. I could be wrong about all this, but yeah.
Auto workers said they feel abandoned by Biden and the Democratic Party, as they increasingly side with multinational corporations over the interests of working and middle-class Americans. Now, I'm wondering, is that narrative anywhere outside of Breitbart.com? Like, does anybody put a fine point on that, like, besides, like, us? That it's I mean, that's true.
So this guy, Sean Fain, is trying to contain Trump. He doesn't want it. He doesn't, because he's obviously the president of the UAW is going to be deeply embedded in the Democrat machine. You know, like let's just be honest about that. Yeah, that much is true. And so even though he's signaling against Biden publicly, I'm sure behind the scenes he's more than willing to work with fucking whoever they send from the Labor Department or whatever to try and fucking actually put the kibosh on this. But he's out there. He's like, I want my workers to remember that Trump's a billionaire. It's like, see, again, this kind of thing doesn't matter to them, because if Trump, and I'm not to defend Trump, but it's like Trump isn't the billionaire that's screwing them over, though?
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
You know what I mean? It's like,
no,
and
Trump is going to screw you over in that he can see the problem and he can do some rhetorics about it, and then he won't fix it.
But like the idea that if you're trying, the worst rhetoric to use against Trump, if you're trying to convince working class people that like him to stop liking him, is that he's actually a member of the same class of people screwing you over, because it's obvious from everything else that they see that that class of people considers Trump to be a traitor and basically wants to put him in jail. So it's not going to work. You'd have to actually just point to his actual record on labor issues. That would be a far better thing to do than to just like say, well, he's got lots of money. Because a lot of these people that voted for Trump are like, yes, he's the one guy, he's a class traitor, and he could do something for us. That was like part of his appeal.
Right. Yeah.
So saying like he's a billionaire, it's like, yeah, but literally every other billionaire wants to put a bullet in his head. Like, what do you, you know, like, so yeah. I mean, that would be a far more convincing argument against Elon Musk. There's other funny stuff where like they're getting libtards to soften their support for UAW by saying Elon Musk is going to be a beneficiary of this, because I don't think that there's a lot of stuff Tesla does where the workers are not unionized. In fact, I don't know how unionized Tesla workers are at all, but I don't think that they are particularly unionized. Because I know the UAW wants to get their workers into EV battery manufacturing plants, and right now they're not. So,
funny how they should do that. It's like, wow.
Plus,
these,
I
like,
would bet you like Tesla is almost entirely manufactured places other than here.
Also, it's just like, wow. You mean like a newer firm where it's like serving the goals of neo-capitalism, and they don't have union help? Are you sure? Wow.
Yeah, they just like managed to skirt all of that. Yeah.
Wow, how'd that happen? In California, no less. So, well, it's just because, like, our political system is a fucking total and complete sham.
Like, wait, hold on. If nobody can do good rhetoric anymore, this is something funny. Amar Moussa, a spokesman for Biden's campaign, said Trump will say literally anything to distract from his long record of breaking promises and failing American workers. He said Trump would have let auto companies go bankrupt during the financial crisis rather than bail them out, as Barack Obama did at the time. I highly doubt that he would, but also saying like, look, listen, workers, don't trust Trump, because, you know, he wouldn't have bailed out all these big companies. It's like, dude, you're not helping when you say that. Yeah. Like, you're not helping. Yeah. So, I mean, I remember when it was the big thing amongst Republicans to say, yeah, Government Motors.
Yep.
And I was like, yes, yeah, which always has been, my friend, frankly.
Now, so like, that was one of the things I also thought was kind of interesting, is because I still remember the automotive bailouts. And it's like suddenly we are wringing our hands about the evil, greedy union workers demanding more money. And I'm like, I distinctly remember giving those automakers a bunch of money at one point in time.
Right. Well, when Obama did that, one of the reasons cited was to keep the unions and the workers working. It's probably true that the UAW big time supported those bailouts and subsidies.
I'm sure they did.
But generally speaking, people didn't.
I remember the libertarian scene was very, very angry about government motors.
Yeah.
I remember sort of like having like the twinging thought in the back of my mind, like, what if all the auto manufacturers in America just went bankrupt? Like, what then? What's your next step, libertarians? Like, what if that industry just collapses? You want that industry to just collapse in America? I don't know what they would do. Like, investment would fucking flock in to reorganize, and like overnight, that industry would just come back, right? Under better organization. It's like, I'd love to see like how does that work out? Like, I think that's what they would say. Like, they always say,
yes, they would say like a better market efficiency
when?
Guy would come in,
when?
You know, and
who?
And do more efficiency. I don't know.
Would they round up
these things? No, like, because you don't understand. Like, I don't ever have to think about that. because I have an axiomatic deductive reasoning structure that's infallible, and I never have to actually
think
about these real world problems, because some it will happen. It's inevitable.
But, it just makes sense that you know, logic trap, bro. It's like if an industry dies, like somebody else is going to revive it, because I don't know.
Dude, I'm seeing a lot of problems here.
Okay.
Got a picture of somebody striking workers up. This guy got a pair of sunglasses on. These look entirely too expensive for his station in life.
Are they Oakleys?
Are
they Pit Vipers?
Here's a picture. This is from...
If you're not...
This is a pretty white group. This looks like it's from... is from Wayne, Michigan.
If you're not buying like Chinese knockoff sunglasses from Amazon, like are you even living? Shit, I have to do this.
There's a lot going on here. I'm gonna need to know.
Brave. There he is.
Frankly, who paid for these signs, first of all? That ball cap, that's a fitted ball cap. It looks like maybe he got that at Lids. You know, those are not cheap.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to think about that when he's budgeting. Let's see. What other personal items do these people have on them? Every single one of them, I guarantee you, has a cell phone.
All three of them are wearing red. That just means they're communists, so they don't deserve jobs anyway. What are you going to do? You can't make money under communism. And who do you think you are?
Also, I'll bet you every single one of them has a smartphone. Probably costs hundreds of dollars.
Oh my god!
Maybe think about that. Maybe get a flip phone instead of going out and striking.
This guy's wearing two shirts. I mean, he's got a hoodie and a shirt on. I mean,
what's that in that guy in the pocket of that guy's hoodie? Has he got gold bars in there?
Probably.
Looks like he's got some. He's probably stashing gold bars in that. Yeah, these people are obviously like, look. You need to learn how to budget. You don't need those sunglasses. You don't need that fitted ball cap. These are extravagancies, and now you want more money? I'm sorry. Budget. Take care of your own budget first, pal. Yeah. I don't know. I had actually forgot about that style of arguing, but that's kind of an irrelevant style of arguing because nobody, you know, even though it's like the actual people involved in this do say like dumb shit. I just support anything that does create more instability, frankly, at this point. And yeah, the thing is that, you know, when we think of all these issues of, oh, EVs, are they good? Are they not good? Where are they sourced from? Like, what's a better type of engine, technology, emissions, all that shit. America just has a schizophrenic policy on all of this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we just have schizophrenic policy and all this shit because it's all ad hoc based on, like, you know, what policies that came in at this time or that. It's just all over the place. It just needs to be brought under, like, control. It needs to be brought under, frankly, like, another, a centralized industrial plan for the entire country, includes labor.
Which would include a cohesive racial strategy, which would get rid of the idea of, like, one of the reasons I don't want to deal with an electric vehicle is like I have a range problem. Like, we live in a country where everybody's incentive is to live as far away from an urban center where economic activity is happening as possible, and you have to travel on your own by car because there's no other solution. So, if you take away someone's ability to drive however many hundred miles a week to work, but you don't take away the reason they're living so far away from work. Like, you've made things worse. Like, you have to solve all these problems at once. And
that's why you have to get rid of all the Jews. Our country is totally schizophrenic. Complaining about climate change, carbon emissions, and all these problems, while at the same time incentivizing and building more and more and more suburban sprawl, more and more now ex-urban sprawl, because people don't even, suburbs are now out. Suburbs are also filled with
diversity more and more crime and like open air fucking drug emporiums in major cities, so that people don't want to go there. Is there a functional city in this country anywhere that
no? There's no functional.
What's his face
cities.
Wouldn't drive through.
And now suburbs are becoming dysfunctional, and people now we are getting more and more of these sprawling exurbs with these massive shopping centers off of like these 4-lane or 6-lane roads, and it just becomes strodes.
I love the strode.
But who will build more strodes?
Oh man,
Who will build the Strodes?
Who will build the Strodes?
Yeah. Yeah. So that right there is schizophrenic, right? That's a contradictory policy. You bitch about the fuel emissions and the climate change, yet you consistently incentivize people to drive longer and longer distances for less and less.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption, not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use e-checks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Last reason, because the main reason they're doing it is avoiding blacks and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Not just blacks, but also beaners. Avoiding diversity. There's a premium on it. People are going to pay it. What is the climate carbon footprint of avoiding diversity? It probably makes up the bulk of consumer carbon use.
I was whining to my wife yesterday how much I would love to just go back home where everything was close, but I can't because of diversity. I don't want
back
to be
home.
There.
You mean where you used to live?
Uh huh.
Which is now someone else's house.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to be. I would love to have never left that area just because it's. But it had to. Like, I mean, it's worse than ever. I could tool around
that.
I hated living in that area. I loved it. I was living.
But imagine if you could tool around in that area in an electric vehicle that was like extremely, you know.
Yes. Yes. Without worrying that you'll be just, fucked if you run out of battery.
Yeah, you'd be all over the place out here. Fuck it. What am I going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to burn a bunch of gas, eat up tires that are also petroleum products. Yes. Topping off the synthetic oil.
That's not going to change. Well, maybe they'll try and change that. I just mean the carbon footprint.
It's like I have to get away from this neighborhood that's going down the tubes to the point where like I just don't have a neighborhood now. There's no neighborhood.
We should
look at trees. The trees can't turn black.
Tires out of solar panels.
Oh, so the solar tires.
Solar freaking tires.
Fuck yeah, solar freaking tires.
There we go. That's
solar. You make them out of the solar panels.
Yeah, the tires are made out of solar panels.
That's genius.
No, you do. I've got it. You don't make them out of solar panels.
You make them really strong.
You make them out of the. You recycle them out of the solar panels that go obsolete and stop working 2 years after you install them. That becomes tires.
That actually probably would be efficient.
You harvest the solar panels. Well, the joke there is the solar panels work for about 2 years and then you're fucked.
No, I understand, but I'm thinking, like, what do you do with those materials? What can we use those? What can we reuse? How can we reuse those materials that are in the solar panels?
Turn them into tires.
Do they have tire? Are they, like, do they have tire-usable polymers in them?
I don't know. Figure it out, faggot. That's what you tell the free market.
Well, the market will figure these things out. We don't have to actually understand.
If we say to the free market, look, make me tires out of broken glass, heavy metals, and other things that make up solar panels, I mean, the market will have to find a way.
I thought that's what tires were already made out of.
Broken glass.
I mean, that's what my awesome. Tires, that's what I drive on. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, what is glass? Melted
silicon,
sand?
Pure silicon. Silicon tires. Let's do it.
I don't see what's stopping it. Just good old-fashioned gumption and ingenuity.
Tires.
Let's put it together.
Yeah. Look.
You know what's stopping it? Unions.
Yes.
Work for these damn Washington unions.
Unions kill that kind. This is the kind of innovation that unions kill.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The media is going to promote pictures. This is the thing that's annoying. They're going to promote the pictures of this strike where, like, everyone's black. But I'm looking at this picture. This one picture, it's like, yeah, like the people in front are black. There's still plenty of white people.
I also don't even care.
Like, it's on some level, it's like whatever.
Do you think Hassanabi will go out there and he'll?
No,
no, you don't think so.
No, because Hassanabi is one of these type of libtard anarchist types who's like legitimately
wealthy,
just actually afraid of working class people. I'm not joking.
That's why he hides in his mansion.
He is actually being around non-wealthy Hollywood type people gives him anxiety.
Which is
that's
good.
Why he went out to the writers thing, because those are people just like him.
That's why he won't box Sam Hyde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just afraid.
Is he also just makes shitty content and I hate listening to him?
We love our landlords. We love our landlords.
Well, I just see his videos and thumbnails for them, and I'm like, this guy is just a typical YouTube douchebag. Like, making dumb facial expressions in his video thumbnails. Like, just and using the same clickbaity title. Like, I went out to the writer's strike picket line, and then this happened. You know, like, that type of shit. Like, you won't believe the demands of the screenwriters. Number 3 in particular will shock you.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. He literally does that style of content and yeah. Pretending like he's doing a brainal thing.
Speaking of that style of content, is it lunchtime style yet?
It's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some other things we could theoretically discuss here, I guess. I'm happy that took that long.
I don't have my Monster Energy drink, so what am I going to do?
One of the reasons I'm always, like, loath to start going down the road of talking about, like, EVs and electric is, like, the comment section.
Yeah.
Last time, I'm not going to bother. I'm not probably not going to wade into that debate because I don't really have much of a position on it. But it does seem to be something where people have dug themselves in very strongly on certain sides of the issue. And I'm kind of like, oh, all right, whatever. I mean, for me,
they did that over ethanol. Like, oh, you can use it in certain high performance applications.
Well, someone was saying that ethanol doesn't varnish anymore. If that's true, then it's like, all right, then I guess there's no problem with ethanol other than you're taking part of your food supply and turning it into fuel. But then again, it's like, do we really want corn to be food supply? Like,
we have way more corn than we need anyway. Yeah. My question is this about that. Is that actually, and again,
I don't know if that's actually true, but if they're saying that it doesn't varnish anymore, then like the issue is solved.
What does that mean, varnish?
It hardens up into like a gel in your lines and fucks up your...
Oh, right. Yeah. I would believe they'd manage to solve
it's
that.
Like, it's
that
like
kind
when
of
you
issue,
run synthetic oil instead of using like dinosaur oil, your engine parts always look a lot cleaner.
Well, here's my question about it. I'm actually wondering, is it actually carbon benefit? Like, and again, not to say that I necessarily buy into this carbon ideology, but does it actually achieve that goal? Does it give more energy? Now, the other thing about the carbon neutral or not is that actually is a good way to measure the idea of does it take more energy to create than what you get out of it?
Yeah, that's true.
That's my question. Is it efficient? Is it actually giving you a better ROI? Like, do you benefit when you use ethanol? Like, do you burn more than what you put in to create it? And I would be skeptical that you do, because really what we're doing when we burn fossil fuels is just burn energy that was stored a very long time ago. That way we can benefit from it. And it seems to me that growing food, although the one thing you could say is what we're doing by growing a food product and turning it into fuel is we are harnessing the sunlight energy.
Yeah.
In that energy that we get to unlock by running our car. Yeah, yeah. So it might be, you know, it might be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of like my thing with so-called global warming as well. It's sequestered carbon anyway. So maybe the earth just wants to be warmer. It's just returning back to its preferred temperature.
What it wants.
But I'm also just like, well, why don't we just have more plants then? Like, because in my fish tank,
like biomass plants,
if I'm having spike in certain things like that, that is balanced out by spikes in algae growth. Like if you
there's a homeostasis. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It will eventually seek that balance. Like the system seeks that balance. Right?
This is one of my like epistemological problems with global warming is it assumes there's like a percentage of carbon dioxide that should be in the atmosphere, and deviating from that percentage is like
right
bad.
Yeah and it makes like, that like a moral what? Issue remember
like how the fuck do you know what percentage is
listen
like
right. whoa.
Written in the fucking universe somewhere that you need to have this particular percentage?
I don't know why you're trying to counter signal climate change with like scientific arguments. What you really need to do is argue for like bigger and better and more capitalism. That's how you defeat the climate change rhetoric is with, you really have to like give like just like more rights to big business and profiteering and crushing unions. That's
right.
That's how the Republicans have fought against climate change for decades. I don't know why. What are you talking about? Like, what's the level of carbon that's good for the atmosphere? And actually, it's like, no, the problem is regulations. You just have to. You have to solve climate change by just allowing billionaires to become trillionaires.
Well, I'm on the side of the billionaires because they don't waste their money on Monster Energy drinks.
Or at least if they do buy a lot of Monster Energy drinks, that's in that's for them. That's something they can afford.
And they bet you they don't. Yeah. Right,
that
they
makes sense for their budget.
And they don't recycle the cans either, do they? Fuck that.
Just saying.
Anyway, let's take a break. He said. He said. Alex said epistemological, and I have to piss so bad that I couldn't handle it anymore. So I'm just I'm slamming the gavel on this one. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Shower, as racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you.